Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
We are beginning the fourth installment of a series on the will of God, speaking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. And she is also has a master's degree in Christian studies. Somebody who I think is a very wise person. I know she gets bashful when I say that, but very wise, very learned on these matters. And we're talking about the will of God. And one of the things I know that we wanted to talk to, Gidi, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And one of the things that we want to say, and we should mention, we'll mention this a few times during the course of the series, is that we don't, for neither one of us, you may have a master's degree in Christian studies, but that doesn't mean you know what the will of God is.
Exactly. I just wanted to say on the air to all the dear listeners that Jerry and I are not presuming to speak for God, to tell God how he should think, what he should do. We both acknowledge that God and his will are mysterious, and we can interpret Scripture in many different ways. And perhaps you, the listener, as you listen to us, you see big holes in our thinking. And you may even be thinking thoughts that we're not thinking. Mm-hmm. So we make allowances for all of that. All we're trying to do is just bring it into the spotlight so that all of us can think and pray and meditate about this.
I guess it comes down to one of this is our fourth series, we said, you know, is it possible to know the will of God?
Yes.
And that's sort of we come back to that very first question. Can
yes.
we really know the will of God?
I think we can know the parameters of it. You know, we can know by direct revelation, we can know by what the Bible says and what the church inspired by the Holy Spirit has said, and using our human reason and by having a personal relationship with Christ and following the example of Christ, we've got a pretty good idea what the will of God is. But when it comes down to particulars, and, you know, that was one of the problems the Pharisees had. They thought they had God all figured out and that they knew his will and anything he might do in any given situation, and in walks Jesus and blows their mind.
You know, there's a father, Father Anthony, who's over at the Abbey of New Clairvaux, and I did a story on the monks. And I remember asking him about, thinking I was saying something very, very wise about Tim Tebow, who was the quarterback for a football team who was you know, a big football player, and he was a good honest Christian man, etc. And I remember asking the father, I said, so Father, are you aware of, do you guys ever have big discussions about the will of God and about whether or not people care about a football game, who wins a football game? He says, well, you know, Jerry, that's kind of theology 101 for us. And you feel so stupid, because that's all they do is study God and the history of the
yes.
church. But it became interesting is does God care about who wins a football game? Does God care about what we eat in the morning? Does God care about the little minutiae in our lives? And his answer was, imagine your own son. You care about his health more than you do what he eats for breakfast. Well, yes. You care about his schoolwork more than this. His view is that God does care about the small things, but he like us as parents, put them on a list. What's most important? What's least important? Is that probably how we should view it?
I think that's a beautiful analysis. I have a little bit different view of that. So our question today is: God interested in every detail of our lives? And this is what's beautiful about our discussions, Jerry, is that we can have differing views on things.
Okay.
And I think we have a differing one here. And again, it's not my job to try to convince you, because you know what? You could be on the right track and I could be on the wrong track. But I just want to just put it out there. I believe God is so fascinated and interested and absorbed with everything that happens in his creation, not just us, with everything. And sometimes we project human limitations on God. Like, why should he care about what dress I buy at the store when he's got wars and famines and diseases? But you know what? We lumped everything on God at the cross. God incarnate, and it did not overcome him. So let me backtrack a little. all the creation, all of its concerns, every hair on every animal, every scale on every fish, every thought, none of this stuff overwhelms God. None of it takes God by surprise. God has his attention on everything. And it is my personal belief that if God were to withdraw his attention from the minutiae of a subatomic particle, that subatomic particle would cease to exist. It wouldn't just die. It would not even exist. That it's God's focus and attention that keeps things rolling.
Okay, well God does delegate responsibility. Does he delegate responsibility?
Well, no, that's a whole other question.
Okay.
I'm not saying that God is dictating every minutia.
He cares about every minutia.
But the question was, is he interested in our details? Because they're offsetting that is, well, I believe we have human free will, and that's a future show.
Right.
So I'm not saying God sits there and micromanages everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, we wish he did more because we don't like the bad stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. And that's another show. But I do believe he is interested. There's nothing we can bring to God that God goes, go away, kid. I got more important things to deal with than your
oh, I agree with
your,
that.
Your dumb question about, you know, should you buy this car or that car or, you know, anything that God can use to engage with us, to capture our attention, to lift our minds from our selfish little lives to him, I think he uses.
We're going to take a break right now. I had an interesting experience that happened 2 days ago, and it really caused me trouble. But because it caused me trouble, I think it brought me closer to God because I turned to him. I'll tell you what happened. It was a work-related event, and I'll see if you agree with it. We'll take a break and continue our discussion with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, talking about the will of God. Does he care about the minutiae in our lives when we come back?
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when
all right, we're talking about the will of God. Is God interested in every detail of our lives? I had something happen to me a couple of weeks ago. I lost a valuable piece of equipment for the television station I work for. It was stolen. I left it somewhere, came back 20 minutes later, it was gone, talked to some old man in this who lived nearby and said, oh yeah, I saw some guys rummage around, they took it, I tried to get it, it was $1,000. It caused me a lot of grief because I had to go to the company and say, I lost it, and I said, I'll pay for it out of my own pocket, et cetera, and they were good, and they said, you know, that happens a lot, that's kind of the price of poker, playing poker, we take that into account, things like that happen. And they were nice, they said, you know, you were a victim, you know, it's like leaving an iPhone somewhere at a restaurant, and you go and you get it, and you say, oh, I sure got lucky. You know, I got unlucky. But it was really bothering me, and I turned it to God, and overall it was a small matter. But I found because of that event, that negative event, I found myself closer to God. I felt he really said, you know something, this little trouble is something that is good for you. And I saw that as maybe this was a positive thing that happened in my life as opposed to a negative. I don't know.
That's a beautiful example.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful example of what I was saying before the break. God is interested in relationship, and he will use anything great or small to increase the intimacy and the reality of the relationship we have with God.
And again, we need to say this almost every time. No, neither one of us are saying we know what the will of God is. You know, we just have to kind of just try to take all of these and be kind of almost like a detective in some ways and say, let's take this clue, and the preponderance of the evidence leads me to believe that this is what I should do, that this is what God wants me to do. Having said that, we can't say that with definity, that this is without question God's will.
Exactly, and I think of the woman taken in adultery. what did the Old Testament say that you do with the adulterer and the adulteress? You stone him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the woman to Jesus and threw her at his feet. And we know Jesus is all God and all man, and he's God incarnate. And, you know, we would expect, because of what we know of the Bible, that, of course, you have to stone her. You have no choice. And yet Jesus, as God and man, comes up with an answer that confounded everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean, is I'm not saying he doesn't make his will known.
The answer, of course,
sometimes is hard for us to predict what he's going to do with his own will.
And of course, in that story, true story, the answer was he who is without sin cast the first stone, and of course nobody could cast the stone.
Except for Jesus, and he declined.
He declined.
He was more interested in saving her than in stoning her.
Right.
And so when we read the Bible or we think we know the will of God, we've got to consult God.
Practical things now. Sometimes I still think that does God delegate? Again, this is just conjecture on our part. We're not speaking for God. Does he delegate responsibility? Certainly he did in the creation. He delegated the naming of animals. He let Adam say, you know, you name the animals what you want. So he delegates responsibility. Does he do that with angels, do you believe?
Yeah, I think God delegates a lot of responsibility, and he holds us accountable for what we do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like in a marriage situation, you know, God created marriage.
Right.
And it's his institution, and he delegates certain tasks to the husband and to the wife, but that doesn't mean they get to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It means that they are held accountable then for what they do.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So when we're talking about God being interested in every detail, we're not saying he takes over your life and you become an automaton or a robot and you can't make any decision on your own without consulting God. Do I buy this color toothbrush or do I buy that color toothbrush? Mm-hmm. You know, he delegates a lot of things to us. He made us in his image and likeness. But there may come a day when we really need to ask him about the little things, like that example I used before about the hot peppers.
Mm-hmm. I remember, yeah.
The hot peppers. Now, to me, was a little thing. I wasn't even going to ask him. I was just going to take it back, and I was annoyed with myself.
And this was, you were trying to sell the house, and yeah. You had a garden of hot peppers.
We had bought all the plants, and these hot peppers ended up coming home with me, unknown to me, and I was hot, I was tired, I was hungry. Now I had to go back to the nursery. And I just felt like God interrupted my life,
mm-hmm.
kind of tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, excuse me, did you not say you're planting this garden for the buyer?
You know, one of the things that bothers me sometimes, and I see it when because I'm a sports fan, and I see somebody that wins a game. And they win the big game, and they go in front of the TV cameras and say, boy, God was really with me on today. You know, I know that God really was there and led me to the victory. And, you know, and I wonder if that's using God's name in vain in some ways. Because does that mean that God had a will for somebody else to lose? I mean, what about the losing locker room? Is it because they lost because God wasn't on their side, or this person won because God was on his side? I find that to be kind of troubling for me.
Yeah, especially I can imagine as a sports person.
Yeah, I find that because I don't. And that's where the question came up at the beginning of the show. I was talking to the father, the priest over at the Abbey of New Clairvaux. Does God
yes.
care who wins a game? Both teams want to win the game.
Yes.
Both players are Christians. Let's say there's two Christians there. They're competing in a mile race. Both of them are running and running and running, and they both want to win, but one doesn't and one does. Is that God's will, or does God say, you know something, I don't say you don't care, but maybe God says, you know, I love you both, go at it. And you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and you remember, just because God has a will, in my opinion, it doesn't mean it always gets done.
Okay.
And so we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That presupposes that we need to ask for that,
mm-hmm.
that it's not automatic. Now, I know there are Christians who believe that God's will is always done.
Yeah.
I personally don't hold that, but that's for a future show.
That is. That's another great question.
So
God's will
in the game
done?
Thing, even if God has a will, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily done.
We're going to take a break. We're speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. There's a new movie out about Jesus as a young boy. I want to talk to Gidi about this, get her thoughts on this. talking about the will of God when we come back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Gady Hansen is with The Growing Place. If you need some marriage and family counseling, or you have maybe some addiction issues you're dealing with, or children's issues, it's for anybody. The Growing Place is located in Chico at 1074 East Avenue. You can give them a call to set up an appointment, get a consultation. I think the first visit's free for a consultation. I'm not sure. But
it depends.
Depends. It can be. But yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend it. The number is 588-0448, 588-0448, tgplace.com, tgplace.com, if you want to learn more about The Growing Place. Speaking with Gady Hansen. Gady, there's a movie out that's just coming out right about now. Uh-huh. It's called The Young Messiah. It's a movie based on Anne Rice, a book that she wrote, and it talks about the life of Jesus when he was a young boy from basically zero until, you know, I guess about 12 years old or something. The only thing we know in the Bible is that when he was 12 years old, he went to a temple. He stayed at the temple. His parents couldn't find him. They were worried about him. They were kind of angry at him, I guess. And they sent him to my father's house, and that's all we really know. But so, you know, how do you determine whether it is, even if the intention is right, this person is writing, made a movie. It's supposed to be a beautifully well-done movie. The spirit of the gospel is part of it. Does God approve of something like that? Is that part of his will? Is it right for us to say, to make conjecture what happened during those years? Or is there a certain blasphemy to it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I believe that God looks at the motivation of the heart.
Okay.
If our motivation in making such a movie is to draw closer to God and to draw other people closer, mm-hmm. and we put things, you know, into the discussion so that people can think and meditate on the things of God, I don't imagine he would object to that. If we're doing it to draw people away from God, to belittle God, mm-hmm. to blaspheme him, to contradict him, like, to have the little boy Jesus say, I'm not God. I don't know why people are telling me I am. Mm-hmm. You know, then that would be another story.
Or if he's using some of his powers to, to cause problems, you know.
Yeah, right. He's being sinful.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, then that would be another story. So I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. I haven't read the book.
It's just coming out now.
Think God looks at the motivation of the
heart. I do, too. I think we agree more on this than we realize.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you might have a point there. Again, it's always worth mentioning that when Gady and I are talking about these things, we have no extra knowledge. People can have can disagree with us 100 degrees, and they're just as right as we are. This is just conjecture on our part.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But I will say, just to follow up on this, you know, I use the fact that Jesus is a young boy as an example for my children. You know, when my kids are having a difficult time, I'll say, well, you know, Jesus was just like you. He was the same age as you. You're going through exactly what he was going through. It's no different. So he
That's
understands
right.
everything that you're going through because he came as, he was a boy just like you.
Exactly.
Had the same problems.
Exactly.
And so in that sense, we do use Jesus' life as a young boy to help us in our lives.
Absolutely. In fact, one of my meditations has been imagining having Jesus as a playmate.
Mm-hmm.
What would that have been like?
Yeah, that's good.
What would that have been like to be his age,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a little younger, and to have him be your next door neighbor?
I'm having a change of heart on this because when I first heard about this movie a couple of weeks ago, my initial response was I wish this wasn't happening because uh-huh. That was my initial reaction. Of course, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. But I began to wonder, you know, as a strict scripturalist, you know, we should only go with what is there and not try to make conjecture on what people may have done or thought or that kind of thing. But I've come to the realization that you're right. If it's in your heart and it's meant to do well, and yeah. I think people know. I think when they watch the movie, they could say, yeah, that's kind of.
It's just like historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know this is a historical narrative, the Bible.
Right.
We know it really happened. If somebody makes a movie about it and fills in some of the gaps, we know it's fiction. the gaps they're filling in, mm-hmm. but the basic facts are real.
But it's also possible, and it could always to go the other direction, it's possible that because there's nothing in the scripture really about Jesus' life as a boy, that perhaps, Jesus is saying, that God is saying, that's irrelevant. Nothing that happened between the age of zero in my son's life until he turned 30, except for that one experience when he was 12 in the temple, everything else is irrelevant. Because if I felt it was relevant, I would include it in the scripture, but I haven't. So therefore, I'm letting you know, my will is that...
That's one way to interpret the Bible.
That is a way to interpret it.
But there's so many things that are relevant that are not in the Bible.
Okay.
That we need guidance and direction on in our personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, computers are not in the Bible, and all kinds of things are not in the Bible. But then can we say we shouldn't have them, they're not part of God's will, use a telephone.
But computers weren't invented then. Telephones weren't invented then. Yeah. Jesus was there at that time, and
yes.
God decided not to put that part of his life.
I think what God put in the scripture was the bare minimum of what we need. John wrote at the end of his gospel that if somebody were to write down everything that Jesus said or did, the whole world could not contain it.
Wow.
So, you know, I think what we're given in the Bible is the bare minimum, but I don't see anything in the Bible saying that God wouldn't give you visions, he wouldn't give you revelations. In fact, he does.
Yeah.
He does.
It is fun to imagine what was going on, you know, during the times of when Jesus was a man, an adult during his ministry. They were hanging around together for, you know, 3 years, every day,
yes.
nonstop. What were they talking about? Did they talk about the weather? Did they talk about what's going on? I mean, they didn't gossip, but that's a sin. But what kind of things were going on? I think that a lot of Christians probably speculate and wonder what was going on.
And I think that there can be a Holy Spirit-led form of meditation where the Holy Spirit leads you to meditate on portions of Scripture, and he speaks to us.
What an interesting discussion. Dede Hanson, The Growing Place, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And next week, we're going to talk about, is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? Can we affect it? Dede Hanson, The Growing Place. Give her a call if you want to make an appointment, 588-0448. So long, everybody.